This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Perhaps the most controversial topic of discussion in our day revolves around truth. Opinions often blur the lines of an objective truth. Streaming platforms, social media, and other public forums allow individuals to project their truths upon the masses like never before.
In the midst of woke, cancel culture, religious freedoms, political liberties, and social injustice, we attempt to search for and reveal the truth. This is Truth Revival.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Truth Revival. My name is Roman Hamilton. With me today, we got Mr. Nationwide, Paul Chapman. Paul, welcome back.
How are you, Rome?
Hey, I'm very excited for today. The timing of today's episode couldn't be any more perfect. Yes. April the 8th, there is supposed to be an eclipse. I'm not that in tune with science or anything of that nature. But I got a text just the other day from a man that I respect so much, Mr. Steve Hall. He shared a video with me. I watched the video and I said, Mr. Hall, can you come on the show and talk about the eclipse? He said, absolutely. And so we're here today. Paul, you know anything about this eclipse that's happening?
Yeah, I do. I follow this weird stuff.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah. So when did you say that was on?
It's supposed to be the 8th.
April the 8th?
Yeah.
That's what, 4-8?
4-8.
Listen to what it says in Exodus 4-8. Are you ready?
Come on, let's go.
If they will not believe you, this is God talking to Moses. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. And this will be the second sign in 7 years. Because Mr. Hall talked about the first sign in his video 7 years ago.
Man.
So April the 4th, check out Exodus 4-8. It's unbelievable how it lines up.
Wow.
I'm telling you, man, the Holy Spirit of God will blow your mind when you start digging.
So, I mean, this episode should release on April the 2nd, which means if you're listening, you've got about a week to kind of prepare.
Yeah.
And if you've been looking on Facebook or YouTube or TikTok, there's all kinds of, you know, people are hypothesizing. They are sending out a lot of conjectures. You know, there's a lot of things that are not exactly known. Some people would even venture so far as to say prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for it. I'm excited, and I want to encourage everybody else to kind of go down some of those rabbit holes, right? Do you like to go down the rabbit hole sometimes, Paul?
Yes. The Bible says that the heavens, they project and proclaim times and seasons, that you can watch the heavens and see what's going to happen and what's going on. And I think the man we have in the studio today is well more versed in that than we are.
Now, Mr. Hall, we didn't agree to this, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, have you thought anything about flat Earth?
I'm sorry, no, I haven't.
Because, see, this is the crazy thing. Yeah. In the age of technology, like, people can gain access to information through a lot of different sources. And I can remember going through school, they used to talk about when you cite a source, make sure that it's a reputable source, make sure that it's a good source and a valid source. Because right now, with the, you know, freedom of speech, anybody can say whatever they want. It doesn't have to be accurate, doesn't even have to be truthful, but they can say it. But there are some people that make compelling arguments for flat Earth. So if you can
depends on your definition of compelling, I guess. But yeah.
If you can give an argument just briefly on, and see, this is what I tell people, Mr. Hall, you can say Roman Hamilton, that's bad theology or whatever. But I just tell people, I'm like, listen, if it's round or if it's flat, that doesn't change the gospel. Oh, you know, that Jesus died for sinners and that we all still need to be saved. So I think some of those, I mean, it's fun, I guess, to have discourse and dialogue about it, but arguing about it. But I had one guy say, well, it's biblical. Flat earth is biblical. And if you don't believe in flat earth and you don't believe in the Bible, and I'm like,
well, the Bible uses figurative language just like we do. The Bible also says you're the salt of the earth. Does that mean you're sodium chloride? And, you know, we know that the Bible uses figurative language. So, and I think it's very, very well established that we live on a round earth. However, let me say this. When you mentioned the fact that you can read anything, we are moving into a time, and we've been there for a while, it's just getting worse and worse, where you have to read almost everything you read with a little, kind of at arm's length.
Skepticism?
Yeah, skepticism.
Yeah.
And that's getting worse with AI starting to put out stuff now. And we don't need to get into the AI thing right now, but AI's got an imagination of its own. And I'm telling you, it will give sources that are just not real. It'll just make things up. Mm. And so you can read something on the internet now that sounds really, really authoritative, and it sounds really, maybe that sounds right to me, but somebody just made it up, yeah. You know, and so you can't trust that. And it's getting harder and harder to know.
Yeah.
So I try myself. I try to find reputable sources, think that, you know, people that I think are reputable. One of my favorite sources is Al Mohler. I think he's reputable. I think he's truthful. I think he's brilliant. So I listen to his podcast every day. I think he's got a lot of good things to listen to. But everything I hear, and especially if a little red flag goes up, you know, I got a little, wait a minute. Then I say, Lord, I don't know whether this is true or not. If you want to confirm this to me, that's fine. But I'll just live the best I can, make the best decisions I can.
Yes.
Based on the information I've got, knowing that the internet is full of deception. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. Yeah. But as far as this eclipse is concerned, the thing that I want people, I think the most important thing to get out of it is that God is an incredibly glorious creator.
The heavens declare his glory.
Yes, I thought that was the verse Paul was going to quote a while ago. The heavens declare the glory of God. And Paul and Roman, the closer you look at his creation, the more it blows you away. Yes.
Let's just go ahead and say this, Mr. Hall. I don't remember the exact date of the previous eclipse. Do anybody remember that date real quick?
It was in August.
It was in August of 2017, but I don't remember the exact date.
I don't remember the exact date.
I think it's the 14th, maybe.
I can't remember. But I was there in town. Mm-hmm. And to be able to see that event, like, coincidence? I think not. I mean, creation testifies of intelligent design.
No question. Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Ray Comfort.
Yeah.
And he said, creation is evidence of a creator.
Yes.
Just like a building is evidence of a builder.
And God's letting that evidence be clearer than it's ever been before. He's making sure that people that want to see it can.
Right.
And it's at both ends of the spectrum. The closer you looked at the molecules of life that he created, the proteins, the DNA, the RNA, what's going on in a cell, I'm telling you guys, the closer you look, the more it will blow you away. If you haven't had a chance to look at it yet in my Veritas series, which is online, anybody wants to see it can see it. But I've got a video about the molecules. It's called molecular biology, but it's evidence from molecular biology. I got a couple of them, one from the second law of thermodynamics goes along with that, and then another one on the fine-tuning of the universe. And the point being, God has created a universe that we can look at and see, and he's given us enough intelligence, don't have much, but what we've got, we can look at it and say, wow, God made some awesome stuff, and there's no way to explain it without him. There's just no way.
That's true.
There's just no way. So anybody's willing to look at it. Now, people will look at it and say, well, I can explain it. No, they can't. But they'll just say, well, someday we'll understand it. No, we won't. It's God.
Yeah.
And it's very clear.
Amen.
But I think that's the most. And he engineered this thing from eternity past. He knew. I mean, he put the heavens in place such that we can even find ancient dates. eclipses are worked like they're clockwork. I mean, you know, he engineered it that way.
Yeah.
He knew from eternity past this eclipse is going to happen when they did, when mm-hmm. they are. And he knew what was going to be going on in the nations at this point. I mean, he engineers it all. It's amazing. Yeah.
So, Mr. Hall, this is just based on my research, and you can either confirm this or you can look into it. And that's one of the cool things about the age in which we live. Like, you can do your own research and formulate your own opinion, but there's no excuse for people to be willfully ignorant. The Word of God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And so, but you was talking about molecular sciences. Mm-hmm. I want to read something to you. Molecular scientists have recently discovered in the past 5 years that a bridge is formed in DNA. Every 10th acid, every 5th acid, every 6th acid, and then every 5th acid again. This connection process takes place constantly in each of our cells. Scientists agree that if you were to stretch out DNA in one cell, it would be six feet long.
I know. It's amazing.
We have millions of cells in our body. If all the DNA and all of our cells were stretched out from one end to the other, it would be over 67 billion miles. Now, get ready for this. You remember the bridge pattern we talked about in DNA? 10-5, 6-5. When Jewish scientists learned about that pattern, they were astounded. They found a code written in our DNA. In the Hebrew alphabet, the 5th letter is equivalent to an H. The 6th letter is equivalent to a W. The 10th letter is equivalent to a Y. Or in other words, YHWH. Like, I don't know about that, Mr. Hall. Yeah. I've never looked through a microscope, and I don't study molecular biology. But have you ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
I've heard that.
But will you research that?
Sure.
And see if it's legitimate or not. Because when I read that, I thought, if that's true, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And how could we deny that God has imprinted himself on our very DNA, that God created us for a divine purpose? People try to find happiness in money, fame, fitness, hobbies, and pleasure, but they all end up leaving us empty. I want to read this out of Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10. It says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, and he is the head of all principality and power."
Yes.
Man, we find people today that are searching for more, searching for answers, looking. And you know what? The best place you can look is unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So, Mr. Hall, we kind of deviated just a little bit there.
Not much.
But we're here to talk about this eclipse, you know? And now, what will we be able to see in good old Teleco Plains? What will we be able to see here?
It won't be nearly what we saw in 2017 here.
You're saying we'll be able to see a little bit of something?
Well, what we'll see is a partial eclipse. We call it a partial.
Do we need the glasses still?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, let's emphasize that. I told my kids at school, don't you dare try to look at that eclipse without eclipse glasses. Because even when it's in a partial eclipse, the sun's bright enough to damage your eyes or blind you. So don't be stupid and try to look at it. But as I understand it, it'll be close to 90% blocked out. The moon will cover about 90% of the sun. And so that'll be pretty spectacular. But it won't be like a total eclipse, which makes the whole area dark for a few minutes. You know, and a total eclipse, you can actually see some stars, and you know the birds think it's nighttime. They go to their nests, stuff like that. But in a partial eclipse, there are partial eclipses that happen pretty routinely, and people don't even know it. If you don't read it in the paper or somebody bring it to your attention, you won't even notice because the sun's so bright that when you cover up a little of it, it's still very bright.
Right.
So we will be in a partial eclipse. Now, we've got family and friends in Texas, in the Dallas area, that will have the total eclipse. Yeah. They'll see the whole thing. But that's what we'll see. I mean, going back again to the fact that this all points to the glory of God, it is amazing. You know, we take so much for granted. We live on a planet that God made where we can actually see out the atmosphere into the, you know, we can see the galaxies. We can, you know, with telescopes. God gave men the intelligence to put together telescopes so we could see this stuff that he created. And we see the galaxies. Mm. And we see, and we can understand how things work. We know that the moon revolves around the earth, you know, about once every 27 days, about once a month. And we know the earth revolves around the sun every 365 days. Or once, you know, once a year it goes around the sun. And then, of course, the moon will twice a month, well, it'll be lined up. It'll either be on the other side of Earth from the sun, or it'll be on the near sun side of the Earth. And 12 times a year, it'll be on the sun side of the Earth. You know, so the Earth is, the moon is between the Earth and the sun, which is what's happening on April the 8th. And, but most of the time, I'm showing my arms here. You can't see this on a podcast, but there's a difference in the plane of the Earth's orbit around the sun and the plane of the moon's orbit around the Earth. There's about a 5-degree difference. They're very close, but they're about 5 degrees difference. And that means most of the time, if we could see it happening, the sun's so bright, you can't see the moon when it's new, but a new moon once a month is between us and the sun, but it's usually a little above the sun or a little below the sun. Occasionally it hits the sun a little bit and we get a partial eclipse. And then rarely we see a full eclipse. It's not as rare as you think, because every 18 months somewhere on the Earth there's a total solar eclipse.
Yeah.
However, when you factor in the fact that 70% of the Earth is water, the surface of the Earth is water, you know, not many people there. Some people don't see those eclipses.
Right.
And when you factor in the fact that only about 15% of the Earth's surface is inhabitable, for people to actually see eclipses is fairly rare. And I think, let's see, I've got this written down somewhere. If you the chance of seeing on average an eclipse in any one spot is once out of every 375 years, which makes that little place in where is it in south is it in southern Indiana? I've forgotten exactly where it crossed in 2017. It's also crossing in 2024, so it's where the X makes the X.
Yeah,
that place is very unique because you're seeing two total eclipses within a 7-year period. On average, it's every 375 years, so that's why they seem so rare. And God,
Cedar Lake in Jackson, Illinois.
That sounds like it could be. It's not too far from what was Royce Limbaugh's hometown there in Missouri, Cape Girardeau. It's not too far from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, just over there. But anyway, God engineered this so we could see it. Most, you know, there are planets in our solar system that have atmospheres, but you can't see through them. You know, but He created our atmosphere transparent so we can see through it. And he put us where we could see these things and learn about these things. And he engineered the sun and the moon and the earth to go through this great cosmic dance constantly. And every now and then they line up. And then even when they line up, it's amazing. God created the sun to be 93 million miles away from the earth, the moon to be about 250,000 miles, 240,000 miles away from the earth. So the sun's 400 times away.
Yep. And it's 400 times bigger.
But the sun's 865,000 miles in diameter. The moon's about 2,100 miles. Yep. They're exactly, so it's 400 times as big.
Yep.
So therefore, they look about the same size, and the moon can cover exactly the surface of the sun. God engineered that.
Perfect creation.
It's amazing. Yeah, and he did that to get our attention. He did some things just to get our attention to blow us out of the water for his glory. And we've been talking about all that, the molecular stuff, the astronomical, cosmological stuff, the way he created the sun and the moon and the earth, all of this and much, much more. It's just part of his awesome creation. He also did something else to get our attention. When Adam sinned, God changed the whole earth. We call it the fall. Mm. And so we have these other events that happen now. We've got tornadoes that come through every now and then. We've got earthquakes that come through. We've got tsunamis that come through. We've got hurricanes that come through, you know, different. And every time that happens, I believe with all my heart, God's saying, I better have your attention. I want your attention. You better pay attention to me. I'm giving you a chance to pay attention to me. And I think that's what he's doing with this solar eclipse.
Yep, I firmly agree with you there. He's giving us a chance to repent. Yeah.
He said, listen to me. You better pay attention to me. Well, you got to take me seriously.
I want to read something out of Acts chapter number 2, and this is when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said this, you know, quoting from the prophet Joel, "It shall come to pass in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness.
Now that could be not just an eclipse. That could be a supernatural event that God's going to do near the end times.
It very well could be. But you know, like when we see some of these miraculous signs happening, you know, and see, God can do whatever He wants. God can stop time, just like He did for Joshua.
Amen.
You know, whenever He calls a sun to stand still, God can do whatever He wants. Okay. But God, a lot of times, uses science.
Yes, He does.
And, you know, like mathematics, Mr. Hall. what is it that Tesla discovered about, was it the number 3 or the number 13 or something like that? Have you ever heard of anything like this?
I can't remember what you're talking about right now.
But there's just certain things about sequencing and numbers that man didn't invent. We just discovered.
That's exactly right.
And the law of mathematics, we didn't invent it.
No.
We just discovered it.
Yeah.
And God works in patterns and cyclical and things that are, you know, like it's amazing what God has done.
Yes. And listen, but what you just said is so important. Puny men who have determined to leave God out of it. They don't want God to have anything to do with their lives. They want to make up their own decisions. They will claim arrogantly and foolishly that they understand this stuff. They don't.
Right.
That's because God created it to work according to mathematical principles, which He did. And it's amazing how He did that. I mean, He engineered the whole universe to fit into some amazing mathematical formulas, you know, universal gravitation, electromagnetic formula, those kind of things. But men can understand those things, and they can figure it out. But all that enables them to do is say, oh, now we see what the pattern is for all this to happen, but they don't understand it. They don't understand it, and they're trying to take glory away from God, and it's very, very foolish. But America's doing that on a big time now. And before we quit, we need to talk about that a little bit, because that's part of what's going on.
Agreed. But going back to the Tesla thing, and, you know, again, you can go down these rabbit holes. It's amazing what you can go down. But 369, Nikola Tesla believed that those numbers were significant and held the key to understanding the universe. Just 369 and those patterns.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they mean, but you know, it's fun to.
You were talking about the prophet Joel. Listen to what Joel said. We all know what John 3:16 says. Listen to what Joel 3:16 says. The Lord roars from Zion and utters His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to His people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. You think about these things that are happening here, and if you look into this new eclipse that's coming on 4/8, Mr. Hall, the eclipse of 2017, which you did the video on, it crossed 7 cities named Salem. In the Hebrew, that means peace. So the new one that's coming on 4/8, it's crossing 7 cities of Nineveh.
Fascinating. Yeah.
It's fascinating. You know, he said 7 and things work in sevens. If you study the Bible out. So 7 years ago, he's saying, hey, I'm the God of peace. Look at this thing in heaven that's happening. I'm the God of peace. And the funny thing is, where that eclipse ended in 2017 was where the Civil War began.
Wow. Wow. God's teaching us something if we will just listen.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me share some scriptures, okay? God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That America needs to listen to that. He said through Hosea, he said, there are people that sow the wind, they've sown the wind, they're going to reap the whirlwind. God said this through Paul to the Ephesians, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who's sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And then Proverbs 29 says, he who is often reproved and stiffens and hardens his neck will suddenly be broken without remedy. Now, guys, every one of those verses applied to the United States. eclipse or no eclipse, you know? I mean, we have sinned against God. We've rebelled. So God has given us these eclipses as wonderful opportunities to get our attention mm-hmm. and say, we better listen to God.
So, you know, Mr. Hall, you're talking about these eclipses being signs in the heavens. They need to get our attention. And Paul hit briefly on Nineveh. Can you share the significance of it passing through these cities of Nineveh? I wasn't aware of what you're about to say.
Jonah.
I wasn't aware of that, because like I've always read the story of Jonah.
Well,
and, you know, just figured like here, this man who is going into this pagan culture, like mm-hmm. he just has the protection of God. And it just sounds like he preaches and they repent.
Right.
I think there was something else that happened on that day.
Yeah. And see, this is the way God works. It's fascinating. I said a while ago, he's created the sun, the moon, and the earth, and the whole universe, and it's very precise.
Yes.
Very precise. So God arranged this so that scientists can now look back and see when eclipses happened in the past because his creation is so precise.
Yeah.
So they know now that in the city of Nineveh in 763 BC, just before Jonah got there, there was
great.
A total eclipse.
This is great, yes.
So when Jonah got there and started preaching repentance, they could remember that eclipse.
Yeah.
And they probably thought, whoa, God's trying to get our attention.
Amen.
And Jonah wasn't really happy about it, if you remember.
Yeah.
But God got their attention. And at least for a while, they repented.
Yep.
And so it's amazing how God arranged it. And so it could be a repeat of that now.
It's wild because, like, you know, he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, or belly of the big fish, whatever you want to say. And Jesus was in the core of the earth for 3 days, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And everybody's always associated in the end times, the mm-hmm. signs of Jonah.
Yes.
It's going to be something to do with the fish, but it's more than that, which the eclipse happened when he was there, when he came in to Nineveh. The eclipse is happening now mm-hmm. and all this with Nineveh, but it's also happening. This is what's crazy, Roman. If you'll look at the constellations and the stars, when this eclipse happens on 4/8, there's a sign. It's actually in the sign of the whale. The constellation lines up in the form of a whale.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'll share one more thing with you, if I can remember this. It's just come to my mind, but how God uses eclipses. In this case, it was lunar eclipses. But my point is, they're timed so precisely that God allowed us to know King Xerxes of Persia died in 465 B.C., We know that's exactly when he died because it was recorded that he died in association with a couple of lunar eclipses that happened. So they know exactly when it was. That enables us to trace prophecies that Daniel made of the birth of the Messiah from the rebuilding of the wall. When Xerxes' son gave Nehemiah the okay to go back and rebuild the wall. Well, Daniel took that as a point of prophecy to prophesy when the Messiah would be crucified. Wow. And Daniel does this. This is all, by the way, I've got this also in the Veritas series under the prophecy episodes. But anyway, and we're able to know that because God saw to it that we wouldn't miss the timing by using a couple of lunar eclipses in this case. It's amazing how he does this. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
It should blow us away.
But I left one thing out. There was an eclipse when he went in to Nineveh. There was also an eclipse when our king was suspended between heaven and earth.
Now that, I believe, was a totally supernatural thing. I think God it wasn't timed. It was just done.
God
just said, I'm going to shut out the sun because my son's dying. I want people to understand what an awesome moment this is.
It's amazing, though.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing. Here's the thing about history. Like, we can kind of speculate and kind of go there. Was it a supernatural event? Quite possibly. Was it? The timing of it, also very plausible.
Well,
that God could also the timing of you.
He could have, but he didn't. There was no solar eclipse in Jerusalem at that particular time, except the supernatural blotting out of the sun that God himself did. Which is why I said a while ago, when God says the sun is going to be dark, I believe God just chooses to say, all right, that's it, and he blots it out.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to have the moon to do it.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
He's God, he can do
it. Yeah, he can do it when he wants to, but absolutely. And so it's just amazing how he's done all this, and it's like over and over, you better give me your attention. You better give me your attention. America right now, think about it, guys. I mean, I mean, you could start just about anywhere. What did I read? Our national debt was now $38 trillion or something like that.
Yeah, that's a,
and I think it adds up to $100,000 for every person. You know, the three of us in this room, we owe $300,000 because our government has borrowed money that it doesn't have to do things it shouldn't be doing. And it's spending money like crazy. Inflation's going up. It's costing people more and more to live. And you know, the Supreme Court, we praise the Lord for this, for the Dobbs decision where they said that Roe versus Wade was not constitutional. But since then, Satan has seen to it to rouse up lots and lots of people to be pushing abortion harder than ever.
Yeah.
And we Christians we're just caught flat-footed almost with this thing. And then the way the sexual revolution has happened, and it's getting worse and more filthy and more depraved as time goes on. I was reading the other day that now they've got a new name. I won't be able to think of what it's called. For people who are sexually attracted to kids, and they're legitimizing that.
Minor attracted persons.
Yeah. And it's just getting more and more disgusting. And God will not put up with this forever.
That's true.
He is a God who judges sin, and he will. And I mean, whether there's eclipse or not, he's going to judge us in.
Yes.
So a couple more things here, guys, that's happened is that, Mr. Hall, you can correct me on this, but the significance is that these eclipses right now are kind of happening predominantly over the United States.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. And are you going to talk about that?
Well, I was going to talk about, there's an a left or like an A.
Okay.
And it has formed over, you know, which is basically the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then there's the Tav, which could be a cross or maybe it's an X, but it's also the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So Alpha, Omega, beginning, end.
Yeah.
I mean, coincidence, maybe, but I think,
but God knows we understand X's. I mean, a lot of America doesn't understand the Hebrew and Greek alphabets, but we understand X's.
Yeah.
And God has engineered this thing. And by the way, obviously this isn't video, but if some of you want to find my video on YouTube, you know, Steve Hall Eclipse 2017 or 2024, you probably can find it.
We'll put a link in the show description.
That'd be great. But I've got more visuals there that they can see a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. But it crosses the country. The path crosses the country and forms an X over the United States. And you look at it and say, wow, it looks like God may be Xing us out.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Hall, but this eclipse that's coming, was 2017 a total eclipse?
Yes.
It was a total. And this is a total as well.
Yeah, but not for us.
Not
it's
for
just
us.
Different part of the country.
Yeah. The last time, if I may be off base here, but wasn't there a total eclipse in 1776?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know that.
I think the year that our nation was founded, there was a total eclipse.
There have been some very significant total eclipses in the past. Do y'all remember Charlemagne and the Holy Roman Empire? They tried to put back the Roman Empire in the 700s, 840 AD, roughly, that period of time. Charlemagne put it all together, what we call France and Germany and Italy now. It was one big Holy Roman Empire. His son, I think he was called Louis the Pious, I had to look that up. Louis the Pious, his son died in 840, right after being a part of a total eclipse. He died just a few days after that, and the empire broke apart, and it fell apart, and it later became France and Germany and Italy. So there was a pretty ominous eclipse. You remember the Ottoman Empire, before World War I. The Ottoman Empire for a long, long time had controlled what we call Turkey and the Middle East and a big part of that part of the world. World War I came along, and there was in 1914, over the Ottoman Empire, there was a total eclipse, and the war destroyed the empire. It was the end of the Ottoman Empire, and it's what began a lot of the current controversies between Palestine and Israel, you know, because that's the Balfour Proclamation gave that land back to Israel as it had belonged to them from the beginning, and the Palestinians claimed we had a state there. They never had a state. They didn't. I mean, it was the Ottoman Empire. It wasn't a Palestinian state. But anyway, that all fell into the hands of other powers at that point, and that was started with another solar eclipse. It's pretty much right there. So God's used them from time to time to get people's attention.
Yeah. And this one here, you know, in 2017, it ended where the Civil War started, and this one that's coming, they say, is going to end where the last Confederate soldier buried the Confederate flag at the end of the Civil War.
Mm. Did not know that. Lots of symbolism here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I've done some research on this, but, like, I can't put all these thoughts that's in my brain and get them out of my mouth, you know. And I want to encourage people to do your own research, go down some of these rabbit holes, take it with a grain of salt, you know, because sometimes people, they try to, you know, fit something to take something to fit their own narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to say it because, but you know,
well, even well-meaning Christians can sometimes put together things that aren't really right, but they think, well, this supports the cause. We don't want to support the cause with things that aren't true.
Right.
You know, so we got to be careful, but sometimes well-meaning Christians will put things out there and other people will pick it up, not really knowing. So it's hard to know these days.
And you got, have you probably ever heard of a guy named Alex Jones?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh my gosh. InfoWars.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, just be skeptical. Have you ever heard of Alex Jones?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Be skeptical with some of the things that Alex Jones says.
Yeah.
You know, but he's had some things. He said some things before that have a little bit of truth in them, you know? And so he is saying that right now this eclipse and where it crosses, whatever, that there's going to be some type of earthquake that comes. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, if it happens, then everybody be like, oh, my gosh. But if it doesn't happen, then it fades off into, you know, oblivion. Yeah. You know, Mr. Hall, you remember the guy that predicted the second coming of the Lord? Like, it was going to be in May.
Yeah, it's been done over and over.
And those people, it's like a cult following.
Mm-hmm. Matthew 5:7-15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. That's one thing he warned us of.
2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Yeah. Like, so we read in Scripture that, people can, if you're not careful, if you're not rooted and grounded in God's word, people can easily be coerced and misled. And as we said earlier, you know, and if some of y'all are like, well, what are y'all talking about? If you look, there was a guy that prophesied that the Lord was going to come back. I believe it was like in May on a certain date, and they had a following, and you know, they were all ready. And then when it didn't happen, he said, oh, well, I got my calculations wrong. It's actually going to be in October or something like that.
Yep.
And so it's like all of his followers were like, well, okay, everybody can make mistakes. Well, then that didn't happen again. And it's like, but you're right, Mr. Hall. There's been a lot of quote unquote doomsday prophets and people who've tried to cash in on people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're doing. They're cashing in on people and sometimes with false information. And and we just need to pray that God would give us discernment as we study these things, because there's a danger of throwing, as they say, throwing out the baby with the bathwater, throwing out God's truth, because we say, well, that sounds kind of strange, but it's still true.
Right.
But there's also a danger of being so gullible that you believe things and kind of embarrass yourself and even Christianity in general by saying things that just are kind of out there and kind of crazy. So we ask God, please give us discernment. Help us to find the truth and be right in the middle of your truth. We don't want to be off in this ditch or over in the other ditch.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that going on right now, you know, and you think about the end time coming and when that door, the Bible says when that door shuts, there'll be many banging on it. Mm-hmm. Hey, we were with you in the street. We were there when you were teaching. We were doing all these things. Said, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
You
know,
so. Yeah, and this was actually the scripture that I wanted to reference, Mr. Hall. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and weight of doctrine by the sleight of men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Yes.
That's the one that I was looking for right there.
So powerful. And you know, we're living in that day now. I mean, you look, just to use one example, and this is just one example, but the prosperity gospel preachers.
Easy.
They're out there.
Here we go.
And you listen to those guys for just a little while, and you say, well, that sounds pretty good.
Yep.
That sounds biblical. They're using a Bible verse there. That sounds right to me. And I've known people who've been just totally deceived by these people who've made a God out of money, you know, and they're deceiving people to get rich.
Yeah.
And they can sound so good if you just listen to one or two messages, but you have to listen a long time before you realize, wait a minute, he's not talking about repentance. He's not talking about Jesus being the only way.
Mr. Hall, had heard a little video or a little snippet on that certain thing. And guys, I don't want to suffer. I don't think any of us want to suffer.
No.
I'm not wanting to die.
But you're going to.
Well, and that's
the thing. You're
going to suffer. Well, Mr. Hall, you know, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that they counted themselves worthy
to suffer for Jesus.
Like, there were some people that didn't suffer. And it's almost like, did God not count them worthy? Were they not able to endure it? You know, and like, we haven't had to suffer a whole lot, I think because we're all soft, if you know what I mean. Oh, but it's like, God, if I suffer, help me. I pray that I be counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm trying to kind of prepare myself, but, you know, we're talking about suffering. I don't want to have to experience that. I don't want my children.
Nobody does.
I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be ridiculed and made fun of. You know, I want to be accepted and I want to be loved and I want to live a great and prosperous life, you know? But what did they do to the man that I'm following?
Think about
what they did to our Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
If they did that to the Lord, the servant is not greater than the master.
And what they did to Paul.
What did they do to Jesus?
He was just a man like us.
And he said, I'm filling up what's
left of the sufferings of Christ. There's more suffering to be done. Yeah. And listen, we all dread it. Nobody wants it. God says, I know what's best for you, son. I know what you need. You don't. If you had your way, you'd have it roasted nice and soft till you get to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got a plan for you, and it involves some tough times.
Yeah.
So the only thing I know to do there is get as ready as we can by getting as much of God's word in our heart, especially the peace of God verses, the verses that remind us we're going to go through this, but God's not going to leave us, and he's going to get us through one day at a time, one step at a time, and get that in our hearts, and then say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you to give me the grace I need when it happens. You've heard preachers say, God doesn't give dying grace on non-dying days. And that's true. And so people worry about, well, what am I going to handle death? Okay. Yeah, you'll handle it just fine because God will give you the grace to do it.
Right. Yeah.
It won't be you. It'll be God. But he does want us to get as prepared as we can be, as thinking things through and making the best decisions we can. But realizing ultimately it's just him. It's just him. He's the one that's going
to
get it.
Listen to what this says in Luke 21. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Guys, we're going to be there one of these days, and we're going to look back on what's happening right now, and it's going to be like a blink of an eye. It's going to be like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems like it's a long process, a long road.
Yeah.
When we get there, in view of eternity, these little years are going to seem so brief, and we're going to say, wow, Lord, you had an awesome plan.
Yeah.
And you did it. So we've got to try to see it from his perspective and realize that's coming just as sure as you're here and I'm here right now.
And like, we see through a glass darkly right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it does. I wish it just made sense. And if the Lord just said specifically, and then, like, we're going to look back through time and go back, oh, well, actually, it did make sense. You know, once we're on the other side of it, you know.
Yeah.
But right now, we just, by faith, have to trust in the Lord.
Yes.
And, Mr. Hall, this is why I continue to study my Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is why I continue in prayer.
Yeah.
This is why I regularly attend church.
Amen.
There's a, you know,
we need that fellowship
and
encouragement.
We need that encouragement.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, there's a, like, our churches right now are in a period of, you know, I feel like there's a changing of the guard that's happening.
Yes.
And tradition from, you know, people that have gone versus, like, taking the step in a new chapter. Now, we don't change the gospel. We don't change the message of the gospel, but we may have to change the method or the approach of the gospel so that, you know, people can come into the house of the Lord. But we've got to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come so that the Lord's house can be filled. And, you know, but Mr. Hall, we look around, there's a lot of empty churches.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and people are steeped in tradition. Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of pastors, and it's just sad, it breaks my heart, but of all denominations, I'm talking about even the what we'd call the good, solid, Bible-believing denominations, there are pastors who've gotten kind of soft. They instead of spending time with the Lord, they spend time with people,
yeah.
And they feel that's they got to do that, but they get the relationship with the Lord kind of out of whack, and then they start being tempted to say to people what they think people want to hear,
yeah.
You know, and you know, like Paul said, the tickling ears thing, you know, yeah. People mm-hmm. got itching ears, and a pastor can kind of figure that out.
Yeah.
He can say, well, if I say this and this and this, they won't get upset. If I said this, ooh, they might not like that. So yeah. Maybe, Lord, I just won't say that, you know, and it gets dangerous.
Yeah. My friend, I actually talked to him on the phone before on the way here, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm moving my pastor. They ran him off.
Mm.
For yeah. And he goes yeah. for standing for the truth
because
he believes the way, you know, he's firm in what the way we believe. But talking about that, Roman, about bringing people into the church and getting rooted and grounded in who he is and what he is. Listen to what the Bible says here in Romans 4:20, talking about Abraham, because he was focused on the Father. And when we get people in here and we get focused on the Father, this is what happens. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised.
Amen.
And that's only going to come with the fellowship of the brethren. Mm-hmm. You were talking about that a while ago, Mr. Hall. Being a socialite ain't going to build the kingdom.
No.
Being separated and living in the anointing is going to build the kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's possible for some guys who have a lot of personal charisma to bring a lot of folks in. They can have big churches in some cases, but they may not ever hear about repentance. They may not ever hear about the judgment of God. They may not ever be convicted of their sin.
Right.
But they feel good.
And
yeah.
something,
it's dangerous.
Something yes. too, like Mr. Hall, like, if we're not careful, we somehow we identify the church as a building.
Mm.
Now, this is a gathering place, and this place has been set aside for the work of the Lord. But when two or three are gathered,
right.
when a body of believers, you can have church on Tuesday
right
night.
Right now, having church.
We're having service right now. You know, Paul, something that you've been successful in is you've got a little bit of a following, and I know you may not want to call it a church, but you've got a group of kids, a Bible study, a small group, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, but you are mentoring and discipling these group of kids, and, you know, like it's a
God's going to be doing more of that.
You may not want to call it a church, but that's... Mm-hmm. That's the idea of it, a gathering of believers.
Amen.
And, two or three of you gathered in my name, I'm like, there. You
know? I want to encourage people, like, look for those opportunities.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as the Bible mm-hmm. says, fail not the assembling of yourselves, mm-hmm. one with another.
Amen.
And so much more.
Yeah, as you see the day approaching.
What day approaching? The coming of the Lord. How do we know the coming of the Lord? We can look up in the heavens. That's what we've been talking about. I mean, I believe that
I believe the Lord
is coming back. Now, Mr. Hall, you know, what does it say that a day is like 1,000 years in the eyes of the Lord?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
10 years is a lot to us.
When it happens, we will realize it was brief. You know, when he says, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming soon, we say, Lord, it's not been soon. Oh, yes, it has. When we see it from eternity. Are you familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And one of them, Lucy is having to separate from Aslan, and he says, I'll be back soon. And she said, what do you mean soon? He said, to me, all times are soon. You know, and I think that's C.S. Lewis's way of saying, we got to keep that in mind with God. We may think it's a long, long time. God says, no, it's not.
Yeah.
All times are soon.
Well, and let's just give, a time relative comparison right here. Whenever I was a kid, it took forever
mm-hmm.
for Christmas mm-hmm. to come about.
Oh, yes.
But now that I'm getting older, it like you turn around, it's already almost April.
Yeah.
Right. We're at the end of March. And I mean, we're a quarter of the way through this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy cow, where did time go?
Yeah. I tell my kids at school, I say, listen, I want you to think about this. Think about something you really, really, really looked forward to. You just didn't think it was ever going to get here. Maybe a birthday party. It may have been a trip you were going to take. It may have been Christmas. It may have been summer break. You know, but you just think it's never going to get here. Just never going to get here. And now it's all come and gone. I said, even at your age, you can understand how that works. When you're looking forward to things, it seems like it's never going to get here. And then when it comes, you realize, whoa, that was fast.
Yes.
And the older you get, the more you understand that.
The quicker it goes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mr. Hall, what we've essentially done today is we've poured a gallon in a thimble.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, people are having to drink for the fire hydrant today. Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you find some of this stuff compelling and interesting, like, Mr. Hall, you've devoted your life to studying the Lord, and I've devoted my life to studying the Lord. Paul, you've devoted your life to following after the Lord. And there are times that I can't exactly put into words what I know in my spirit. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul said this mm-hmm. in Corinthians. He said, I knew a man once mm-hmm. who went to the third heaven. He goes, and I can't put into words what I seen, you know, and I can't even put into language like what I know. Mm-hmm. If I told you, you wouldn't even believe me.
Right.
You know, and there are times that I don't know how to put into words some of the things that I've studied and read and what God has given me in his spirit. And then there are times when, man, God just lets me speak freely mm-hmm. and it comes out so plain and so clear. But then there are other times it's like I'm not able to quite yeah. fully express. And so
Paul was talking about prayer, but he alluded to this when he said there are times when we don't know how to pray,
yeah.
but the Holy Spirit does. And he makes intercession for us with groanings. Amen. Too deep for words. I think that's alluding to what you're
and
talking so, about.
But like if somebody's out there and they're like, man, y'all have not done a great job of sharing, you butchered this. Like, I want to encourage you to do some research, because there's some fascinating things out there about God revealing himself through signs and wonders and in creation, in the heavens, that he's declaring his glory. And folks, if you can't see the desperation that's in our world, the hurting that's happening, the wars and the rumors of wars, the famines and the fires and some of the travesties that's happening in our world. The world is groaning right now. And I believe that the Lord will be coming back soon. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you to be ready. Now, Mr. Hall, I would love to have you back for another podcast. And we could quite possibly talk about the end times, mm-hmm. what that means, the rapture, mm-hmm. of course, the tribulation period. You know, will we be the generation that gets to see that, to endure that? I don't know. Because like when Jesus went away to start, he said, this generation shall not pass away. Mm-hmm. You know, like they thought that the Lord was going to come back during their lifetime. And now it's been a couple thousand years. So would you come back and maybe
if that's what the Lord wants, I want to do it. We'll just check in with him and ask him for wisdom. And we'll, yeah, I mean, because this has been fun today. I mean, I've really enjoyed the conversation. We may have confused a lot of people. I hope not.
I hope not either. But like I said, it's like putting a gallon in a thimble, but, you know.
But people can feel free to contact any of us, and we'll be glad.
And we're going
to
also put a link to your YouTube page.
Okay, sure.
Because man, just Mr. Hall is one of those guys that has the capacity for knowledge, and God has blessed you as a teacher.
It's all him. If it's true, it's all him.
It's all him. And you just, you know, you were talking earlier about getting older and your mind's kind of slipping. I said, yeah. Well, now you're probably down maybe with the rest of us.
No, you may still be
a couple rungs higher.
No.
But And this is something else that I meant to say too, Paul. I don't know if Mr. Hall remembers this, but I was in his astronomy club back in the day, and you had us over at your house one time.
Telescope.
And I think we looked at the Andromeda galaxy.
Probably.
And it was just like, holy cow, what's out there?
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating. And, you know, Mr. Hall, I'm just going to, let's just have some fun right here at the end. Right now, you've heard of Elon Musk, mm-hmm. I'm sure, SpaceX. And they're shooting these rockets up in the sky. And have you ever seen the videos at night where these rockets are going through the sky and it looks like, I mean, it's amazing how the sky, have you seen this?
I've seen the ones back from the 60s and 70s when I was a lot younger. I haven't seen Elon's. No.
Oh, you need to look at it. Anyway, so Elon actually made this post. He said, I can't break through the firmament. Okay. Wow. And so you had a lot of, like we spoke about, a lot of the flat earthers say that we're a closed circuit. People can't exit the earth and go out into space or whatever. And then there are skeptics that even talk about the moon landing. Did we actually ever go to the moon? Can you exit Earth's atmosphere? And then Elon Musk says, I couldn't break through the firmament. But when they send those rockets up, a lot of them end up going up to a certain point and either they explode or they end up coming back down. So
based on the best evidence I've got, they're actually going into, I really believe that those rockets have gone into space, but I could be wrong, but I believe that they really are doing those things. Yeah.
But like it, I don't know. It's too advanced for me. And of course, one of the crazy things, Mr. Hall, is, and I mean, NASA has released this statement and they said that we've lost the technology to go to the moon. You can just look at that. Now, could it be the government's answer of like smoke and mirrors? Who knows? But, you know, like there's just some weird things that's happening in our government and in our world right now.
Well, there's a lot of deception. There's no doubt about it. So we have to, again, make the best decision we can based on the evidence we have and trust the Lord with the rest of it.
Yeah. And again, some people may just be like, holy cow, do some research. Take it with a grain of salt. There was a guy that, his name was Tom O'Neill. He was my accounting instructor from Tennessee Wesleyan. And he said, remember these two things. Number one, cede to authority. And number two, question motives.
Yeah.
And he said back
then, there could be a third with that. Follow the money.
Follow the money. But, you know, just question, yeah. Like almost like question everything. Don't just be a pawn that just believes everything. But God has given us his word, and we can know him through his word. But there are some nefarious things that's happening in our culture and in our world, and God's trying to show us some stuff. And I pray that God would give us eyes to see and ears to
Amen.
Hear.
Amen.
So, Mr. Hall, you got any closing thoughts before we turn over to Chappie here?
No, this has been fun, guys. I appreciate you inviting me over. It's been a joy. I appreciate God's working through you guys, and it's obvious, and I love it. So stay in the battle.
Amen. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you and look I'm forward good. To maybe having you back on in the future.
I wish you would come back. It's fun when he's here.
Oh, gosh.
Just being wound up.
Ton of knowledge. But, Paul, won't you close us out? Give us some good words here.
Whew. I've got three or four things I want to say. It may take a minute.
It's okay.
You know, we talked about this earlier in the podcast with this eclipse coming, crossing Nineveh, all these towns called Nineveh, and Nineveh means repent, you know, and there was an eclipse when he came in to there to talk to Nineveh, and there's an eclipse now, and we understand that this goes over all these cities that mean repent. But if you look at this thing really close, right in the middle where this thing X is at Rome, and you call it Cedar Point or Cedar Park, where this thing X is, it goes over. There's a town called Alpha. There's a town called Omega. And right on the edge of this thing is a street called Salam, Peace. So it's crossing Nineveh. And it's giving you a chance to repent. This is a sign for our nation to repent and come back to the Father. He's given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and we've continued to spit in his face because we think we know better. We think our knowledge is better. We think our way's better. But he's saying, hey, look unto me. I am giving you a chance to have life and life to the full.
And Paul, if I can interject here, I know we usually close with you, but there's been a lot of doomsday prophets, and I've actually been one who said that our world's going to get worse and worse, that perilous times will be upon us. Right. It's never going to get better. And that's what Jonah thought with Nineveh. He thought those people are not going to repent.
Yeah.
God, just go ahead and destroy him. And he went in and preached, and guess what? They repented.
And he got mad.
Listen, they got a reprieve. That's right.
But if America turns its heart to God, I won't be sad.
No, it'll be great.
I will rejoice.
Yes. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, praise God. Yes, hallelujah.
And we need to pray for that. That's the whole point here. Yes.
It's possible for our nation, our people, our towns, our country to turn back into the Lord.
Yes.
But it will only happen through God's Spirit.
Amen.
It will only happen through just... a marvelous move of God's Spirit. And that's what we're praying for.
Yes.
That God would open people's eyes and God would open people's hearts in these last days.
Amen. And Psalms 19, we talked about this earlier. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. So he will show you. He will speak to you. And this is the last thing I want to leave you with. The church can survive without America. But America cannot survive without the church.
Amen.
Boom. Mic drop moment. Man, I don't know what else to say. Great episode, guys.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, great episode.
The Lord is good.
God is good all the time.
We just need to stay in the battle till he says it's over.
Amen. Yes, sir. Stay faithful, stay in the battle. Mr. Hall, thank you for coming on the show.
Looking back for the last, we want to talk about the end times.
Yes.
Get him back.
Got to get him back on here. But we're also going to put a link to your YouTube channel in the show's description, so everybody be looking for that. But if you've enjoyed it, be sure to check us out on Facebook at Truth Revival 37385. For Steve Hall and Paul Chapman, I'm Roman Hamilton. Put your glasses on when you look at the eclipse.
4-8.
With that being said, we're out of here.